Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 13, hear God's word. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is God's holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we look at what the writer of Hebrews has to say to us this morning, we see that he is going to apply now what he has been talking about and giving examples of in the life of the fathers of the faith in the previous verses. And as we turn now to what he has to say, we are going to see, beginning at verse 13, that the faith that he has described in the lives of the patriarchs is a faith that he is going to describe in verses 13 and 14 as a faith that perseveres. It perseveres to the end. These all lived and died in faith. The saints that he has described and holds before us are held up not as great and noble examples of people who arrived, as it were, who got it, and that we should sort of look at them and say, wow, they did such a great job, but simply as examples of those who lived and died in faith in the manner in which we are called to live. We are called to live and to die in faith, as was Abraham our father and those others that are listed in this passage before us. A justifying and sanctifying faith is called for, a faith that trusts in the Lord. These were examples of those who had that kind of faith, a faith that never apostatizes, rather one that perseveres. And our writer here tells us about the effects of faith. Notice that he says in this passage and in throughout this letter to the Hebrews that the effects of faith are these who that he holds up before us are those who did not receive the promise. Abel, all the way to Abraham, had the same promise, but they did not receive that promise of the Messiah. They were those who looked by faith to that which was to come. They had the expectations of the Messiah to come. They had the hope that there would be a deliverer and that there would be salvation, but they didn't actually possess the promise. Christ had not come. They did not see Jesus Christ. But notice, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them and greeted them afar off. They were perceived by faith. This is spoken of in the 8th chapter of John, and in particular, the Lord Jesus speaks of Abraham as our father in the faith. And if you'll turn to John chapter 8, look with me at what he has to say in verse 56, John 8, 56. Your father Abraham, this is Jesus speaking, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. By faith, Abraham looked forward to the Messiah that was to come. That's what the writer means when he says they have seen them and greeted them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Their soul was satisfied with the veracity and the truth, the trustworthiness of the word of God. It gave them confidence. See what Romans, the 4th chapter, has to say. Turn there with me for a moment and to the 21st verse. Actually, go back to about verse 18. Let's read from there, Romans 4, and hope. This is about Abraham. He believed against hope. Remember, here Paul is writing about the fatherless Abraham, who had no offspring, no children. What does it say? He believed against hope. In other words, he believed the promise of God that he would become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, And here the writer is very clear, which was as good as dead. In other words, Abraham was unable to produce children. And when he says, since he was only about dead, we have it in parenthesis. It's a part of the text, but it helps us to see the thought and the progression of thought by putting it this way. He was 100 years old. How do you expect him to have a kid? If we would translate it loosely. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. All right, you've got two problems. Abraham is unable to have children because he's old and worn out. And Sarah is old and worn out and barren. She does not have the ability to conceive a child. And he had been the recipient of the promise that he would be the father of many nations. So what does our writer say? Paul says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. When our writer in Hebrews says that they received the promise and that they embraced the promise, Abraham received this promise and he embraced it with the assured confidence that even at his advanced age, Sarah's advanced age, and all of those things listed in Romans 4, that he was going to have a child by his wife. How? He didn't know, but he believed God's promise. That's faith. And he embraced the promise, and that's what the writer of Hebrews tells us we must do. And our fathers in the faith embraced those promises by discerning by faith that God's word is true. And they rested in the promise, rested in it, confessing that they were pilgrims here on this earth. By faith, they lived as though they were pilgrims, manifesting that this was not their home, but that they belonged to that home that was a home in heaven for them. They made no secret of the fact that they were strangers and sojourners here. Abraham had received great promises from God. How much land did he own in the promised land? He owned enough land when he bought a grave for his wife when she died. He owned no other land. He was looking by faith to this promise that it would go beyond this simple land of promise. And he made no secret that he was a stranger and a sojourner here. He conducted his life like a pilgrim. His home was not here. His home was in heaven. And he took no part then in the apostate religion and apostate social life of the Canaanites. He stood apart from them and he lived here as though he were going to be living in the very presence of God. And so we should ask ourselves, how are we living? Do our hearts cling to this life and to the things that we have? Or do we cling by faith with love and delight to the things that are ours in Jesus Christ? Can we say with Scripture, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches? The psalmist says we ought to have more joy in the testimonies, the word of God, than in all of the riches that we could enjoy. Oh, we want to be comfortable. We want to have enough. We want to have homes that are comfortable. But is it really the truth that our hearts long for the joy of the riches and the glory of God and Jesus Christ? Do we find more comfort in the things of this world than we do in the things of God? Oh, in the midst of distress and sorrow, we turn to the Lord. Sometimes that's only momentary, but we should turn to the Lord for all things. And all things should remind us that we are the Lord's and that we belong to Him. And we ought to live as though we, like Abraham, our father in the faith, are pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, using the things of this world when necessity requires, but not abusing them, and not lusting after them, but seeking to use them for the kingdom of God, being contented with what God has given us, not always striving to have more so that we can have more for the sake of having more, have more for the sake of being comfortable, but we should be content with what we have because what God has given us is for us to use to extend his kingdom work. And we should lay aside every weight and mortify the members of our body here on earth that we may run, as Hebrews 12 says, the race that is set before us, daily keeping in mind the brevity and the uncertainty of this life, as the writer of Proverbs reminds us, by constantly keeping before us that our inheritance is in glory and future. It is not what we enjoy here and now. These were pilgrims on this journey of faith, and their faith persevered. Abraham, our father in the faith, never bought a home through real estate one or any other agency. He lived in tents with his children and his grandchildren, which was a confession that he was a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. And that's the life of faith that's set before us. And then our writer turns in verses 15 and 16 to the reward of faith, as it is seen in these verses. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. In other words, they had left what they left behind. What did Abraham leave behind? He surrendered everything. He renounced his family, as it were, and his comfortable living. And he didn't turn back. There was no returning to the world. It would have been so easy for Abraham to say, you know, I don't like this life of wandering around in this land of Canaan. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to where I was comfortable. I'm going to go back to my old family, friends, the people that knew me when I grew up, and just tell them I made a mistake. I'm just going to go back and I'm going to be comfortable where it wasn't such a struggle to live out in the desert and to have to live in tents. I want the certainty. I want the comfort of that home. I want the comfort of friends. Abraham didn't do that. He turned his back and he followed the Lord. And those who are called by God out of darkness into his marvelous light of the gospel of grace are called to surrender their whole lives to him, to renounce the flesh, the world, and the devil, and vow by his grace to have a ceaseless warfare against them and carry out the vows that were made when we put Christ on and when we came to him by faith. We need to live like our father Abraham here and our fathers in the faith in a reliance upon God. It's so easy to live in reliance upon our checkbook, but you know what it's like when the checkbook gets pretty low. You know what it's like when the checkbook goes in the negative. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've had to lose things, all things. Where do you turn in those moments? You turn to that steadfast rock and the assurance of God that he will never change. And you find in him your security and your hope. And that's what this father in the faith, Abraham, did. He lived in reliance upon God. He lived in the comfort of knowing that God was directing his steps. And we should live that way too. This passage of reliance upon God, calling us to be committed to the Lord like Abraham was committed to the Lord, commits us to rely upon him for our safety, for our health, for our happiness, for our home, for our bank account. Who owns it after all? You don't. It was a gift entrusted to you by the Lord. And the gospel tells us that we are called to live like Abraham, who lived in reliance upon God, and he lived in obedience to his word. He was called to go out from his father's house, and he obeyed. He did not remain. He went out and he was inclined by faith to obey the Lord, and he persevered in that path of obedience despite the obstacles that were there. Undoubtedly, had he gone back, can you imagine this? Some of you may know what it's like to have moved away and then you've moved back to a location. What's in the old place that you moved back to? Your old friends. What would Abraham's old friends have said to Abraham if he had returned? They would have welcomed him back. How was it out there? Did you find what you were looking for? Pull up a chair. Let's talk about it. The comfort of that fellowship. He left because he persevered in this path of obedience. Undoubtedly, those old friends would have heartily welcomed him back again. But God had called him, and the scripture says that he plainly looked for a different city, a better country. His aim was to avoid every obstacle by faith. He desired a better country, verse 16 says, and he wanted to live for God. As a result, our passage says, but as it is, they desire a better country, the heavenly one. That's Abraham's path. It was the path of faith. It was the path of obedience. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God was not ashamed to acknowledge Abraham. God was not ashamed to acknowledge those who by faith walked in the path of obedience to his word and to his call. By incredible grace, God calls himself the God of worms of the earth, creatures of the earth who live in constant rebellion against him apart from grace. But by grace, he saves them. He changes them. He makes them his own. He covenants with them with an unbreakable covenantal bond that by grace they are quickened, they are enlightened, they are justified, they are saved and sanctified. They will be glorified, and God assures us and he underscores us, as it were, with that covenanted love. And he says, you may know that I am your God. He is not ashamed to call us his own. He was not ashamed to be called their God, the scripture says, because by faith they had come to know him and love him, and they were content in that. You may be content in knowing that God is your God. How may I know that God is my God? You may ask that question. Well, have you entered into covenant with him? Have you, by your spirit within, subdued that spirit and yielded to him? Do you remember when you were a bondslave to Satan and to sin, but God broke in upon you and with his mighty work of grace, he subdued your heart and he caused you to yield it to him? You gave your hand and heart to him, and you in defiance and sin have been translated now by his grace and by his power to be a servant of the living God. How do you behave yourself in this covenantal bond between you and God? Do you love God as your chief and highest good? Is God and God alone the one that you live for day by day? When you wake up in the morning, you give thanks for your life and for the ability to serve him that day. When you go to bed at night, you say, thank you, Lord. You've given me your grace, and I've been able to live for you. Do you seek his glory in all things to the utmost end? Do you obey him as your highest Lord, as your God and Savior? Do you depend upon him as the one who gives you all things? That is how we give glory to God. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. And we should not then be ashamed to live by faith, living for the one who has made us his very own. And I would remind you that this passage reminds us that God has called us to that kind of life, that kind of faith, that kind of living that's exemplified by our father Abraham and others mentioned in this passage. But I would also remind you that like Abraham and all of those mentioned in this passage, God has prepared a royal home for you who by faith have trusted in Jesus. And that home is yours. It's assured. There isn't going to be somebody else that snatches it away at the last minute, like it happens, you know, you're going to buy a house and you say, boy, I'd like to buy that house. And you say, let's, You go to your realtor and you say, let's put a bid in and let's buy that house. I want that house. Your realtor calls back and says, somebody else beat you to it. And your heart kind of goes down. And you had your hopes on that house. And you wanted that house because it appealed to you. Well, you have no idea of the appeal yet of the house that God has prepared for you. But there will be no one who snatches it from you. He assures you that that home is yours. And the home for which you are longing is the home that Abraham and others like him were longing for as well. Eternal life with God. Our writer has been telling us all about faith. That's what faith hopes for, longs for, seeks for. That's what faith rests in. The promises of God that he has a home for us in heaven and that we can live for him now and that he will dwell with us now as his people and with us and with him we will dwell for all eternity. And he calls us to faith in this passage, to the faith that is the faith like our father Abraham and those like Abraham who trusted in the Lord, who rested by trust and faith in the Lord and in his unfailing promises. Is that where you're at in your faith, in your walk with the Lord? Trusting in him. Trust him for today. Trusting in him for whatever comes tomorrow. Trusting in him for all eternity. That's what faith is all about. And that's what our passage and our writer is all about as he talks to us about the faith of our father Abraham and the faith to which you are called, which rests in Jesus, the only Savior of sinners that will bring you into your eternal home in heaven and that eternal joy of fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May that be your faith. Amen.